Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar and Tirmur Zechus Yuma Daf Mem Tes, the fifth parak Hutziyolo. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi inquired, Chofen v'meis, ma'u sheyichanes acher b'chfinaso. If the Kohen Gadol filled his hands with ketores and placed it in the kaf, but died before burning it in the Kodesh Kadoshim, may the Kohen Gadol who replaces him use the ketores that was scooped up by the first Kohen Gadol, or must he perform a new chafina? A Papa said that depends on the following issue. Ichofen v'chozer v'chofen. If the Kohen Gadol does chafin before entering the Kodesh Kadoshim and does it again inside, which means he pours the ketores back into his hands from the kaf before pouring it onto the coals, then the new Kohen Gadol can use the original chafina since he'll be doing the second chafina. But if the Kohen Gadol only does chafina once before entering the Kodesh Kadoshim, and then upon entering he pours directly from the kaf onto the coals, then it's a valid question whether the new Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina and not do his own chafina. Point number two, Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua told Rav Papa that the reasoning is the opposite. If the Kohen Gadol does chafina twice, once before entering and once after he enters, the new Kohen Gadol who replaces him may certainly not enter with the first chafina, since it's impossible for him not to take less or more ketores than he needs, since his chafina is not the same size as his predecessors. But if the Kohen Gadol does not do chafina a second time upon entering, but pours the ketores directly from the cup onto the coals, then it's a question whether the new Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina. And point number three, the Gemara proves that the Kohen Gadol does do a second chafina from the following braisa. Kesed hu oseh, how does the Kohen Gadol do chafina once he enters the Kodesh Kadashim? Ochez etz abasach baroshe etzbosav, after depositing the shovelful of coals on the ground, he grasps the front of the cuff of ketores with his fingertips, and some say with his teeth, with the handle towards the body. Umal b'gudala achmagask bein atzila yodav, and he carefully pulls it upward with his thumb until the handle reaches between his elbows, v'chozu machzir l'tokhafanav, and then he tilts the cuff and pours its contents back into his cupped hands, and he heaps it up on the coals so the smoke should come slowly, which the Miri says is so that the Kohen Gadol should not choke from the sudden release of smoke. Others say that he scatters it on the coals so that the smoke should come quickly, which the Miri explains is so the Kohen Gadol will not have time to gaze upon the Kodesh Kodashim. The Braisa concludes, Zoi avoda kasha shebemikdash, and this was the difficult avoda performed in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara challenges this statement, given that Malika and Kamitza are also difficult, and revises the statement to, Zoi avoda kasha ma'avodas kasha shebemikdash. This was among the difficult avodas performed in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara concludes, Shmamina chofen v'chozer v'chofen shmamina. We learn from this Braisa that the Kohen Gadol does chafina twice. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi inquired, Chofen v'meis, ma'u sheyichanes acher b'chfinaso. If the Kohen Gadol filled his hands with ketores and placed it in the cup, but died before burning it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, may the Kohen Gadol who replaces him use the ketores that was scooped up by the first Kohen Gadol, or must he first perform a new chafina? Rav Papa said that depends on the following issue, Ichofen v'chozer v'chofen. If the Kohen Gadol does chafina before entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim and does it again inside, which means he pours the ketores back into his hands from the kaf before pouring it onto the coals, then the new Kohen Gadol can use the original chafina since he'll be doing the second chafina. But if the Kohen Gadol only does chafina once before entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then upon entering he pours directly from the kaf onto the coals, then it is a valid question whether the new Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina and not do his own chafina. Point number two, Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua told Rav Papa that the reasoning is the opposite. If the Kohen Gadol does chafina twice, once before entering and once after he enters, the new Kohen Gadol who replaces him may certainly not enter with the first chafina, since it's impossible for him not to take less or more ketores than he needs, since his chafina is not the same size as his predecessors. But if the Kohen Gadol does not do chafina a second time upon entering, but pours the ketores directly from the cup onto the coals, then it is a question whether the new Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina. And point number three, the Gemara proves that the Kohen Gadol does do a second chafina following the following braisa. Ketsu d'ose, how does the Kohen Gadol do chafina once he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Ochez es abasach baroshe es ba'osav, after depositing the shovelful of coals on the ground, he grasps the front of the cuff of ketores with his fingertips, and some say with his teeth, with the handle towards the body, umal b'gudalo achmegask bein atzila yodav, and he carefully pulls it upward with his thumb until the handle reaches between his elbows, v'choz machzir l'toch chafanav, and then he tilts the cuff and pours its contents back into his cupped hands, and he heaps it up on the coals so the smoke should come slowly, which the Miri says is so the Kohen Gadol should not choke from the sudden release of smoke. Others say that he scatters it on the coals so that the smoke should come quickly, which the Mir explains is so that the Kohen Gadol will not have time to gaze upon the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Braisa concludes, Zoi Avoda Kasha Shebe Migdash, and this was the difficult Avoda performed in the base of Migdash. The Gemara challenges this statement, given that Malik and Kamitza are also difficult, and revises the statement to Zoi Avoda Kasha Ma Avodas Kasha Shebe Migdash. This was among the difficult Avodas performed in the base of Migdash. So the Gemara concludes, Shma Mina, Chofen V'Chozi V'Chofen, Shma Mina. We learn from this Braisa that the Kohen Gadol does Chafina twice. Alright, so now we go to a Simmer Daf Mem Tes, and our standard Simmon is related to meat. We use a butcher, so here goes. The former butcher, who became the alternate Kohen Gadol, and was called into service when the Kohen Gadol died right after doing Chafina, got nervous about doing the second Chafina with his larger hands, while holding the cuff in his teeth. Once again, it's a motion. The former butcher, that must be more on Daf Mem Tes, meat. The former butcher became the alternate Kohen Gadol and was called into service when the Kohen Gadol died right after doing Chafina, which reminds us, Rabbi Shubin Levi inquired, if the Kohen Gadol filled his hands with Ketores and placed it in the cuff, but died before burning it, and the Kodesh Kadashi made the Kohen Gadol replaces him, use the Ketores that was scooped up by the first Kohen Gadol, or must he perform a new Chafina? Papa said that it depends on the following issue. Ichofen v'choz v'chofen, if the Kohen Gadol does Chafina before entering the Kodesh Kadashim and does it again inside, which means he pours the Ketores back into his hands from the cuff before pouring it onto the coals, then the new Kohen Gadol can use the original Chafina since he'll be doing the second Chafina. But if the Kohen Gadol only does Chafina once before entering the Kodesh Kadashim, and then upon entering he pours directly from the cuff onto the coals, then it's a valid question whether the new Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's Chafina and not do his own Chafina. So the former butcher became the alternate Kohen Gadol and was called into service when the Kohen Gadol died right after doing Chafina. Got nervous about doing the second Chafina with his larger hands. Which reminds Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua told Rav Papa that the reasoning is the opposite. If the Kohen Gadol does Chafina twice, once before entering and once after he enters, then the new Kohen Gadol who replaces him may certainly not enter with the first Chafina, since it's impossible for him not to take less or more Ketores than he needs, since his Chafina is not the same size as his predecessors. But if the Kohen Gadol does not do Chavina a second time upon entering, but pours the Ketores directly from the cup onto the coals, then it is a question whether the new Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's Chafina. So the former butcher became the alternate Kohen Gadol and was called into service when the Kohen Gadol died right after doing Chafina, got nervous about doing the second Chafina with his larger hands while holding the cuff in his teeth. Which reminds us, the Gemara proves that the Kohen Gadol does do a second Chafina from the following brace, the Ketsu Ose. How does the Kohen Gadol do Chafina once he enters the Kodesh Kadashim? So after depositing the shovel full of coals on the ground, he grasps the front of the cuff of Ketores with his fingertips, and some say with his teeth, with the handle towards the body, and he carefully pulls it upward with his thumb until the handle reaches between his elbows, and then he tilts the cuff and pours its contents back into his cupped hands, and he heaps it up on the coals so the smoke should come slowly, which the Miri says is so the Kohen Gadol should not choke from the sudden release of smoke. Others say that he scatters it on the coals so the smoke should come quickly, which the Miri explains is so that the Kohen Gadol will not have time to gaze upon the Kodesh Kadashim. The Braisa concludes, Zohi Avoda Kasha Shebe Mikdash, and this was a difficult Avoda performed in the base of Mikdash. And the Gemara challenges the statement, given that Malik and Kamitza are also difficult, and revised statement 2, Zohi Avoda Kasha Ma Avodas Kasha Shebe Mikdash. This was among the difficult Avodas performed in the base of Mikdash. So once again, the former butcher who became the alternate Kohen Gadol and was called into service when the Kohen Gadol died right after doing Chafina, got nervous about doing the second Chafina with his larger hands while holding the cuff in his teeth. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazorah. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. The Mizbeach Monopoly Board. Monopoly. That must be more in Daf Mem Hei. Ma. Monopoly. The Mizbeach Monopoly Board with a different maracha in each corner, which reminds us that the Mishnah and Daf Mem Gemal and Beis introduced a malchus regarding how many marachas were on the Mizbeach during the year. We'll all agree that one was added on Yom Kippur for the coals to be used for the Ketores. The Gemara here brings a brace that identifies the purpose of each of the marachas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two daily marachas, the maracha Gedolah to burn the Karbonos on, and the second maracha for the daily Ketores. Rabbi Yosi holds there was an additional maracha for Kima Eish, maintaining a fire on the maracha Gedolah. Rashi explains that the fire on the large maracha was not blazing sufficiently, they'd replenish it with burning wood from this fire. Rav Meir holds that there was a fourth daily maracha for Evarim Padarim Shel Nisakum Be'erev, the limbs and fats that were not consumed at night. Rashi explains that this refers to the limbs and fats that were not placed on the maracha the previous day for lack of room, or those that were placed on the maracha but didn't have time to become entirely consumed. The Gemara proceeds to bring the sources for each one. So the Mizbeach Monopoly Board, with a different maracha in each corner, had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center. Which reminds the Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yossi's source for the third maracha, which was for Kima Esh, maintaining of the fire on the maracha Gedola, is from the pasuk that Esh al Mizbech tukad bo, and the fire on the Mizbech shall be a flame on it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't require a third maracha. He explains the pasuk coming to teach regarding Hatzatzas Alisa, the kindling of the splinters of wood used to start the maracha Gedola every morning. This was done by kindling small twigs and splinters and inserting them between the larger boards. Rabbi Yossi derives the law of Hatzatzas Alisa from the same place that Rabbi Shimon derived it from, for it was taught in a brayso when the pasuk states, "V'nasnim b'nei Aaron hakohen eish al mizbeach," and the sons of Aaron the Kohen shall place fire on the mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says the pasuk is coming to teach that Hatzatzas Alisa shlotei el beroshah shel mizbeach, the kindling of the splinters may not be performed except at the top of the mizbeach, meaning that a kohen may not ignite the splinters on the floor and then bring them to the mizbeach. So the Mizbech monopoly board with a different maracha in each corner had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center and a community chess card for taking calls for the Yom Kippur Ketores from the Mizbech Chitzon. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a long braisa on which the question is raised whether the calls to the Ketores of Yom Kippur are taken from the Mizbech Chitzon, the outer altar, or the Mizbech HaZahav. The Torah states, "V'lachach malamach degach ha'le'esh me'ah ha'mizbech mulifnei Hashem," and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from upon the Mizbech from before Hashem. The phrase mulifnei Hashem, from before Hashem, implies that only a part of the Mizbech is before Hashem, but not all of it. Which Mizbech is that? It's Mizbech HaChitzon. Rashi explains that the Mizbech HaZahav is considered completely before Hashem. Daf Membav, so the symbol of Membav is a cow going moo. So here goes. The Kohen carrying the singed and vowed cow parts, that must be more in Daf Membav. The cow carrying the singed and vowed cow parts to the special fourth maracha, which reminds us, we learned on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph that Reb Meir held that an additional maracha was set up daily on the Mizbech for burning the limbs and fats that weren't consumed at night. So in our Gemara here, Reb Elazar said in the Mar Kapara that Reb Meir was saying the following, "Evrei Olish Nitosu," regarding the limbs of the oil that were left over from the previous night, one makes a separate maracha for them and arranges them upon it, and even on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks what Bar Kabbar is teaching, given that an explicit mission stated the requirement for a fourth maracha. And Rabbi Avin answers, the clause is needed only to teach that the fourth maracha is set up even for invalid parts that are left over. But this is only if the fire has already taken hold of the invalid parts. However, if the fire had not yet taken hold of them, a special maracha is not set up for them. Rashi explains that it's only upon becoming singed that the parts are considered lachmus mizbech, the bread of the mizbech. Others understand this qualification applies to valid parts as well. So the Kohen carrying the singed invalid cow parts to the special fourth maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with the Friday Tamid on Shabbos, which reminds us, after knowing that both Bar Kabbat and Rava agree that we kindle the initial maracha on Shabbos to burn the leftover weekday parts, the Gemara brings Rav Huna's opinion that tchilasa docha sofa in a docha, the beginning of the Shabbos Tamid, referring to a shechita and offering up of its parts, is docha Shabbos, but the end of the Friday Tamid is not docha Shabbos. So we see that Rav Huna holds that parts of the weekday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos. The Gemara brings a machlokes regarding what is meant by inedocha. Rav Chissa said, it's docha Shabbos ve inedocha Satuma. This means that although the end of the Tamid is docha Shabbos, it's not docha Tuma. Although we generally override the Tuma restrictions for the sake of the Tamid, the mere burning of its parts is not significant enough to warrant this. Rav said that Rav Huna meant docha Satuma ve inedocha Shabbos. Although the burning of the Tamid is docha Tuma, the end of the Friday Tamid is not docha Shabbos. Although the parts of the Tamid are burned in a state of Tuma, the parts of the Friday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos, for their burning doesn't warrant being docha Shabbos. So the Kohen carrying the singed and vowed cow parts to the special fourth maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with the Friday Tamid on Shabbos, almost stepped on and extinguished coals that had been removed from the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, it was stated, Mechabe Esh Machta Menorah, with regard to one extinguishes the fire, the Machta, the Ketor Shovel, or the Menorah. Abai says one is Chayev, and Rava says he's Patz. And Gemara clarifies that they agree that one is Chayev if he extinguished the coal at the top of the Mizbeach. They disagree in a case when he took it down to the ground and extinguished it there. Abai said he's Chayev Esh HaMizbeachu, the coal is considered the fire of the Mizbeach. Rava says, he's patur, came into nitka, because once it's removed from the Mizbeach, it was removed. It's no longer considered Eish HaMizbeach. Daf Mem Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. Here goes. The boy running through the Yom Kippur maze, that must be more Daf Mem Zayin. The boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores, which reminds us that the reason the Kohen Gadol carries the Ketores into the Kodesh Kodashim with the cuff is that it was not possible without it. He couldn't enter once with the shovel full of coals and then enter again with the chafina, since the pasuk mentions bringing in only once. If he were to take the ketores in his hands and put the machta on top, then he would need to grasp the machta in his teeth and place it on the ground and then put the ketores on it. This would be unseemly if done before a human king, let alone before the Melech Malkei HaMelechim of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, since it's not possible to bring the Ketores in his cupped hands, he does it in the manner that's found by the Nesim. Rashi explains that when the Nesim brought their special offerings for the inauguration of the Mishkan, they offered a cup Ketores, a ladleful of Ketores. So the boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores had to locate seven brothers dressed as Kohanim Gadolim, which reminds us. It was taught in the Braisa, Shiba Banim Hayelo Kimchis, Bechulan Shimshu Bakuna Gadol. Kimchis had seven sons, and all of them served as Kohen Gadol. The Rabban asked her what she did to be zochah to this, and she replied, Mayamai Laro Kors Beisi Kali Sari. In all my days, the beams of my house didn't see the braids of my hair. They said to her, Harbi Asuken Vuho Iwu. Many women did this and didn't accomplish what you did. So the boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores had to locate seven brothers dressed as Kohanim Gadolim and got bonus points if he found the kid with very pudgy hands, which reminds us. The Gemara brings an inquiry regarding the rule that the kometz is not supposed to be overflowing. When Yochanan said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah inquired, Beina Beinim Shel Mali Kumsum Mahu, what's the status of that which is trapped between the fingers of one's full kometz? Is it considered part of the kometz or not? Rapapa clarified that the question pertained to that which is trapped between the fingers and not visible to either side. Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah resolved the question and answered that which is trapped between the fingers is a safek. The Gemara asked, well, what should be done with this? Rabbi says that according to the Rabbanan, who forbids something that's meant to be eaten to be placed in the Mizbeach, even for the sake of firewood, there is no option except the Kamsei Shmini that fat Kohanim perform kamitza. Since their hands are pudgy, nothing will get trapped between their fingers. Daf Memches. So the Simmer Daf Memches is a brainiac. A brainiac. So here goes. While some brainiacs, that must mean we're on Daf Memches. While some brainiacs were busy testing their pacing the kometz on the inside of the kli technique, which reminds the Rapapa inquired, what's the luck of after performing kamitza, the Kohen pasted the kometz to the wall of the kli sharis rather than placing it at the bottom of the kli? And Marba Ravashi asks, what the luck is of the Kohen inverted the kli sharis and pasted the kometz to its bottom? This is the case in which the kli had a hollow stand that could serve as a receptacle when the kli was turned upside down. Do we have to place the kometz inside the kelim properly, or would these alternative placements work? Both are left as a teku. So while some brainiacs were busy testing their pasting the kometz on the inside of the kli technique, others were on the floor analyzing the status of spilt Ketores from the Kohen Gadol's Chafina, which reminds us. The Gemara prefaces Rapapa's next query by introducing the following halacha. If the blood of a shekel of carbon spilled on the floor from the incision on the animal's neck and the Kohen gathered it up, it's pasul. Whereas if it was first received in the kli sharis and then spilled on the floor and he gathered it up, it's kosher. So Rapapa inquired, what's the luck if the Ketores scattered from the Kohen Gadol's full cupped hands and fell to the ground? May he gather it up from the ground and use it or not? Do we say Yado Katsaber Behema Dami Ubasua? His hand is analogous to the neck of the animal, and the Ketores that fell to the ground is pasul? Or do we say Kli Sharis Dami Vlopasua? Or that perhaps the hand is analogous to the Kli Sharis, and the Ketores that fell is not pasul? So on the one hand, the Torah doesn't require the Ketores to be placed in the Kli Sharis, in which case the special consecration of the Ketores occurs when it's placed in the Kohen Gadol's hands. But on the other hand, since we learned that the Kohen Gadol practically requires the cuff to carry the Ketores into the Kosher Kadoshim, the consecration occurs in the cuff, and the Kohen Gadol's hands are considered like the neck of the animal. The Gemara leaves it as a teku. So while some brainiacs were busy testing their pasting the kometz on the inside of the kli technique, others were on the floor analyzing the status of spilled Ketores from the Kohen Gadol's Chafina, with their left hands tied behind their backs. Which reminds us, when Rosh Hashanah was asked, Halacha b'smol mahu, what's halacha regarding carrying the blood to the Mizbech in the left hand, he answered that it was taught in the Mishnah regarding the Kohen Gadol bringing the Ketores, Natal zemachta b'yamino v'esakaf esmolo, he takes the shovel of coals in his right hand and the kaf of Ketores in his left hand. So clearly, halacha is valid if it's done in the left hand. The Gemara in the next Amud successfully refutes Rav Sheish is based on a brisa that states, Zar va'onin shikr ba'amun b'kabal b'halacha v'zrika pasul. If a zar or a Kohen who is an onin, drunk or blemished, does the Kabbalah halacha of zrika of the blood, it's pasul, v'ken yoshev v'ken smol, pasul. And so too, if a valid Kohen does any of these avodas while sitting or with his left hand, it is pasul. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1, which daf do you learn that one is not permitted to do halacha with the left hand? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have melachos regarding how many melachos there were on the Mizbeach each day of the year? That's on daf Memhei. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have melachos of buying rubber, whether one is chai for extinguishing coals that have been removed from the Mizbeach? That's on daf Membav. Good. Number 4, which daf do we have a question in the case where the Kohen Gadol dies after doing chafina, whether the alternate Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina? That's on daf Mem test. Good, number five. Which of the word in the Ketores is Mechaperis on the Aver of Lashon Hara? That's on Daf. Mem Dalad. Good, number six. Which of the word in Bar Kapar teaches that the fourth Maracha is set up even for invalid parts that are left over provided they become singed? That's on Daf. Mem Bav. Good, number seven. Which of the word in the Gemara leaves as a take of the question whether Ketores that fell to the ground from the Kohen Gadol's hand can be used? That's on Daf. Memches. Good, number eight. Which stuff did we learn in the process of how Chafina was done in the Kodesh Kadoshim? That's on Daf. Memtes. Good, number nine. Which stuff did we learn from Yehuda learns from the Pasuk Ve'esh Amizbech Tukat Bo is coming to teach about Hatzatzas Harisa? That's on Daf. Memheg. Good, number ten. Which stuff did we learn the Gemara leaves as a take of the question whether one can paste the komets to the wall inside the Keli? That's on Daf. Memches. Good, now the three bonus questions. Number one, which daf do we learn why the Mishnah need to state behemos, chayos, and ofos? That's on daf. Chafal from Sakim. Good, number two, which daf do we learn six unbecoming things for a Talmud Chacham? That's on daf. Mem gemal brachos. Good, and number three, which daf do we learn shomrei svichim take their wages from the trumas alushka? That's on daf. Yidden shkalim. Excellent, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.